Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cleo, live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 p.m. Join the conversation by calling 347-826-9597 or hit me up on Twitter at Real Miss Cleo. That's RealMSCLEO. You can also stop by and like us on Facebook, Conversations with Cleo. Small business creativity and community with a generous complement of spirituality. Now go on, go grab you something to drink, cup of coffee or tea, and come on back so we can start the conversation. Good afternoon, my dears, and thank you so much for tuning in live today. Those of you that have the time in your schedule at the midday or the early or the latter part of the midday, today is May the 10th, 2013. We are still under the influence and the impact of the solar eclipse and new moon in Taurus. Little heads up out there to at Golden Girl 2957. The new moon enters Gemini a little bit later on in the early evening. So I want you to be good to yourself. I want you to be patient. Mind your temper, Golden Girl, because we know that you have one. And then I want you to take some time for self. For those of you out there that follow me often enough and follow the recommendations of the spiritual movement through the numerology and the planet positioning of life, this is a great opportunity in this new moon, in this solar eclipse, to revamp or update or possibly recreate or create a new manifestation board. I know I am making some updates to mine, and I'm looking forward to spending some time doing that this weekend. This is the last Friday show of our first season here at Blog Talk Radio. Monday, May the 13th will be our 49th show. You all know I like the odd numbers. They work with everything that I work with, because, you know, it really is all about the numbers for me. So that will be our 49th show and our last show of our first season here at Blog Talk. It has been outstanding. It has been so much fun. You all have been so embracing. Those of you who followed me over from Podbean, I certainly appreciate your loyalty. And to all of you that are new to Conversations with Cleo, I appreciate all that you bring. Now, I promised today we were going to talk about unplugging and reconnecting in 3D. And one of the ways that, you know, that we're going to kind of ease into the weekend is that here today, we're going to put some poetry back into the vibration. We're going to take a real nice, easy vibe into this weekend, because it's what I choose. No matter how intense the last few weeks have been, it seems like we have been at top speed since Mercury awakened from his very luxurious nap. So I thought that this would be a wonderful way to do just that. But we're going to go ahead and play a track from my first project called W Times 3. And when we come back, we're going to hit a few top news items of the day. So go grab yourself a cup of coffee or turn up the volume or plug yourself in wherever you're at and take a listen to W Times 3. While I respect the advancements and benefits of technology, I can't help but be concerned by such a broad-reaching, powerful tool which seems to be spinning out of control. This is a position poem on the World Wide Web, a.k.a. W Times 3. Round and round and round we go. Where we stop, only Google knows. The World Wide Web, W Times 3. A web of lies, a web of deceit, a catalog of assorted lonely heart scams and wire transfer cons. A hedonistic gateway to international porn. A window into your personal life, a peekaboo into your psyche, a viewfinder of sexy pictures of your wife, a key to your online diary. A direct line to your platinum credit, a virtual home tour from ceiling to floor. A window into a twisted mind across the pond, around the corner, or just next door. Washington, Jackson, Benjamin have no power here. Cash has no pull. Plastic rules with relentless control. No precedents exist.
No worldwide highway patrol, no boundaries, none at all. No conscience, no feelings, no soul. Where are the faces? Where are the people? When did everything change? Disconnect and then reconnect with someone in 3D. Log off, get outside and breathe. Alter your perspective. Take a chance. Take the risk before you choke on W times 3. Because you can't smell roses on W times 3. You can't eat a fresh baked chocolate chip cookie. You can't feel the ocean spray on your face. You can't look into the eye of Ra and feel the heat. And you can't be caressed by a cool, crisp breeze. Because living on W times 3 is hella unhealthy. Round and round and round we go. Where we stop, only Ahu knows. The last will become first and the first are now last. What the fuck is going on? How did all of this shit happen so fast? It was heralded as the information highway set to revolutionize the world and speed us into the new millennium. Something went wrong. Things started to happen. Things they didn't count on. Really, we just wanted to bring people together without leaving their homes. With every turn, with every revolution, the danger became more evident. Seems like this communication shortcut wasn't heaven sent. Round and round and round we go. Where we stop, ask Jeeves, he knows. No need to walk through a dark alley alone. All you have to do is log on. No need to give a teen a curfew. They can log on and leave unbeknownst to you. No need to keep your eye on the strange old man at the end of the block, because pedophiles have a new gathering place and it's all the rage. Just log on to your child's MySpace page. In all fairness, the highway did deliver all sorts of information at your fingertips, uncensored, unverified, unbridled, and unfiltered. A cornucopia of poor instruction and misdirection, the mutation of how-to gone awry. If you ask me, in short, TMFI. Future generations are left with correcting problems they didn't create. Some say it's the price of progress. Others say it was a clearly foreseeable fate. A vehicle that promised to set us all free has become a cyber prison. No sentence, no jailers, no key. And too damn bad if you forgot your password and user ID. Round and round and round we go. Where we stop, who the hell knows? Real-time updates where the future has already become the past? Follow Alice through the looking glass and here's what you'll see. Millions crippled and twisted from the carpal tunnel epidemic of 2033. Shock, afraid not, at the worldwide suicide pact on New Year's Eve 2124. More than 100,000 lives lost. And the powers that be are still reluctant to close this mind-numbing machine down and seal up the door. Nothing they can do to stop the mayhem, to restore the sensitivity of man, because W times 3 has taken on a life of its own. Alice, wake up and stop drinking the tea. Quick, go find Darcy and her ruby shoes and tell Harry Potter too. We've seen too much of tomorrow through the eyes of W times 3, and we don't like the view. Round and round and round we go. Where we stop, only Jah knows. This page cannot be displayed. The life you are looking for can no longer be found. The feelings you seek are currently unavailable because W times 3 is experiencing real-life difficulties. Stand up, back away, take the next exit off this W3D highway, make a hard left, stop typing and use your voice, log off while you still have the chance, while you still have the choice.
Alrighty, my dears, that is called W times 3 from my first project, Confessions, Convicted for My Beliefs. Also, another track we'll be playing on, not just because the timing is apropos, I put that project out back in 2006, and so that's why the reference MySpace page is still there. Clearly, MySpace is has its histrionics and has laid the groundwork for other things that we now utilize, recognizing that social media has a very profound impact. And so while at that time in my life, I had a very interesting perspective of the internet, and so I felt the need to share it with a bit of whimsy. So it's always kind of nice to go back and check where your head was at. But given that dynamic, let's keep moving on to something that I think is very apropos and very well placed at this time. I don't know if you all heard about that $45 million heist that looked like an ATM flash mob. Is that Ms. Cleo, what you're talking about? Apparently, over a period of some months, there is a group. They're not quite sure where they were located, but they figured out how to hack in to credit card companies, get approval codes, find ways to lift the withdrawal limits. And anything that had one of those magnetic bars at the end, didn't matter if it was an expired credit card or an old hotel room card, whatever the case may have been, they encrypted the information. And then all at once, at 27 countries around this planet, they all hit the ATMs at one time. Rastafari, they got a group of them up in Yonkers, up in New York. But these people are all over the world, you hear me, man? And they went and had a field day to the tune of $45 million. Rastafari, ja. Really, now, they could take that energy and do a few other things that would be wonderful. Here's the reason I mention it, is because we all pay for this. And clearly, once I went down the rabbit hole and following Dorothy and that wonderful Cheshire Cat, I realize that this happens far more often than is ever reported on the news. It happens completely often, anywhere from the tune of $5 million upward to this $45 million. However, this one, as a collective effort, has been the largest of its kind in our current history. Wow. Another thing that you all know, and I knew, and I talk about all the time, and I'm sure you all talk about it the same way, and certainly we didn't have the American Heart Association as one of our credits, but they have finally made an absolute announcement that the ownership or the engagement of having a canine or a feline family member actually decreases your risk of heart disease. There you have it. As far as I'm concerned, both the canines and the felines, y'all know how I feel about them if I play what if. You understand? They come from another place, and they come here to assist us, to help us. We do not own them. They do not own us. It should be a very, very respectful relationship that you have, a very loving relationship that you have with your canines or your felines. They are here for your betterment and for your good health. I also want to give some mad props out to Minnesota. They are on their way to legalizing gay marriage, or making it legal for married people to be gay, as I like to say it. And then I want to let you all also know in the LGBT community and beyond that the immigration sticking point right now are some references to sponsorship for citizenship for same-sex couples. I'm still not sure why that should be a problem, but this is why we need to continue to push to make this a federal mandate. And of course, we wait and we bite our nails patiently for the Supreme Court to bring forth their decision. So there is kind of an update and a highlight and a bring you full forward on what's running around in my head and what I've been chatting to people about this morning and yesterday as well. So we are going to go ahead and ease in at that point. Since I communicate with so many of you all on Twitter, I want to give out some love to Soul Sister and to Black District and Poetic Designs. Golden Girl, I gave you a shout out a little bit earlier. To so many of my brethren out there that stay so supportive of me as we made this transition, as I continue to reach back out to the universe. I got to give some love to it's EJ Baby, always supporting me from the start. Mad love and thanks for the follow to DJ Comeback, and always mad love to the producers of Hotline, the documentary. You all have to keep up with them, boy. Because guess what? Your brethren, Miss Cleo is featured in the documentary. They're wonderful people, and it was a lot of fun, and I was very honored to be asked to participate. Also, some love out to Jamie and to Lijan at Jamie Z and at Anonymous Jaga. Or J-O-G-J-A. All right. I don't know if I said it right or wrong, but you know I send love with it nonetheless. All right. We are all of these people I know through Twitter. And this next track is actually dedicated to the social media giant.
As usual, I found myself in the evening time sitting outside gazing up at the stars. But I was thinking about how to write this next rhyme because I really felt that in order to bring a fullness to this experience that is Full Moon Madness, that I would have to own up and give some respect to the social media giant known as Twitter. And there was a time when I mocked Twitter. There was a time when I mocked people who used Twitter until I recognized that in my sageness I had missed a very important clue. You see, the tide had changed and there was a new model afoot, and this very social tool had become so much more. Certainly there are still people who cruise the vibration. I've actually received my own personal death threat, and I actually thought it was quite funny, and I just simply blocked the person and moved on. So it would have been so insensitive of me had I not talked about this very keen lesson that I learned. And so then I began to put together this piece in my head, and it still was not speaking to my soul, and it certainly was not worthy of this social media giant. And so then I sat and I sat and it occurred to me, 140 characters. And then I said, uh-oh, I'm going to write a haiku. And for those of you who may not know what that is, it is an ancient Japanese poetry format, vibration, tradition. And you are allowed 17 syllables. First line, 5 syllables. Second line, 7 syllables. Last line, 5 syllables. And it is supposed to be something that looks one way on the surface, but has a deeper meaning. How very, very apropos for that social media giant that taught me a very, very solid lesson and helped move my knowledge and my horizon into another place. So today, without further ado, this is my honor and my thank you to the social media giant known as Twitter. This is my blue haiku.
Bluebird tweets daily. Free and wild without a cage, but he cannot fly. Before I go any further, man, I just think I gotta give some mad props out to my engineer, Mark Carmatz at Insane Sounds, INSANE Sounds. It is the one of the most wicked studios, if you ask me, in the whole of South Florida. When I tell you, this brethren knows what he's doing. I love it. And I hope out at Twitter that you all enjoy that track. I did like writing the haiku. And the sound effects and that old kind of vinyl sound is on purpose, so you all don't think, damn, what's wrong with my headphones? It's all good. You know, we like to flip the script and keep you rolling on this ride. You know, and it's interesting because the show is entitled Unplugged, Don't You Love the Irony? Because clearly we're all plugged in. I'm plugged in so many places right now just to bring you this show live. It's not even funny. However, the unplug is necessary because balance is necessary. And as we are all trying to digest the events of the last couple of days around the freedom, finally, of these three young women who have been through unspeakable, I can't even wrap my logical mind around it, nonetheless wrap my emotional heart around what their post-traumatic stress must be. So again, first and foremost, love, energy, healing, and please to the media, back the fuck up. They're asking, these girls don't need to be thrust back into a house. They'd like to come out and see the sky. They'd like to come out and maybe smell the smog, because I bet you that smog probably smells pretty good right now, and we take a lot of shit for granted. So anybody out there, back the fuck up. Give these girls an opportunity. I know everybody wants to know everything. Well, here's the deal. Nobody was sniffing the goddamn nose around when they were held up in that house, right? So now, back the fuck up, all right? I've said it three times, and perhaps somebody is listening, but I feel like after listening to the aunt and the cousin of the De Jesus young woman, that they were just asking for that. And they took their family member, took this young woman outside to sit, to hear the birds, to see the sun, and here comes some big, ratted, noisy helicopter trying to take footage. You understand? Really? Do we not have sensibilities, people? All right, I promise, I'm not going to get up on the soapbox. But here's the deal. All of that information now comes from so many areas. And that whole story has sparked all manner of conversation around the country. But, you know, I found myself walking through my neighborhood and saying, I wonder what's going on in that house. House is kind of boarded up. Don't really see somebody come and go, this kind of thing. You have to stop and wonder. You don't have to stop and panic. You don't have to stop and worry. But you have to make note. You understand? And why are we so disconnected from each other? Why are we so fearful? Why are we so cut off and otherwise engaged in whatever, our social media, our iPads, our this, our that, to not take notice to what's going on around us? And much as I can come to with my anecdotal research with friends that I respect, my partner, business associates, spiritual colleagues, the first place that some of my more practical friends talked about, I don't want the liability. And some of you all say, liability? What do you mean liability, Ms. Cleo? Well, I don't know about you all, but in the last 10, 15 years that I'm aware of, there have been different incidences of people being saved from choking. Saved from choking, let me say that again, by some good Samaritan in the area performing the Heimlich maneuver. However, the sadness of this is that in a good 60% of those cases, the good Samaritan was sued for medical bills for breaking someone's ribs. Now, I'm not really understanding that, because if I just saved your life, and you're going to flip the script and then sue me for breaking some ribs in the course of saving your life, I'm feeling a little bit like a punk and a chump. You understand? So that kind of liability, people don't want to be shot at if they're being what they perceive to be nosy. People don't even want to get cussed at, because you don't want to make waves. And so people concern themselves and move through this list of liabilities. You understand? And then make the choice to turn the blind eye. And this is not about judgment. This is just about what it is, because I get it. I get it. I don't want to be cussed out. I don't want. But at some point in time, we've got to make a decision as individual human creatures. You understand? Because we are here to love one to another. We genuinely are here to have a good lookout. You understand? If you were brethren. Whether you know somebody or not, you understand? You're not going to let that child walk across a busy street and you're going to stop and go rescue that child. You don't know that child. But that's what it's about. But sometimes we get caught up and we forget, not on purpose, but we get caught up. That's the phrase. We get caught up and we get distracted. Again, we went to the turn a blind eye because we don't want no repercussions. We don't want no trouble. That's another reason. I get it. No judgment. We're distracted or we're disconnected. We're so caught up in the me vibration, in what I need to do now and where I need to get now. And I don't really look at you and I don't really look at you and I don't really pay attention to you either. Because right now it's all about me and everything that I'm trying to get to do and everything that I am concerned with and everything that I am entertained with. Therefore, you can walk past somebody and not even notice that they're near. And I don't quite understand that. About 20 years ago, because my youngest was probably about 4 years old, I remember being on my way into a CVS pharmacy or something like that. I'm not sure of the brand name. And I was going in to get my daughter's asthma as medication. And there was a young man. He was young. He looked to be in his 20s. And he was sitting outside with a little sign. And I looked at him and I said, oh, precious. He had these big doe eyes. And I said, sweetie, I'm so sorry. I said, this medication can cost me so much money. I wish I could give you something. And he looked at me and he said, well, that's all right. You said hello. He said, you'd be surprised how many people don't even see me. They look past me as if I'm invisible. And my heart broke because he was very okay that I didn't have any money to give him. What he was grateful for was just the human connection. That we spoke, that I didn't look past him like I imagined he wasn't there. He actually existed, and my speaking to him and conversing with him was validation of that, contrary to what very often he said he experienced. And that's what I'm talking about, folks. I'm talking about connecting with people. I understand that we have all kinds of ways. We got texts, we got Scrabble that you can play on this, and you can do this, and you can do this, and all of these things. I don't do half of them because I really do prefer to connect with the people that are in my world. I really do prefer that so much more that I prefer to chat with somebody business and follow up with an email. Man, I'm not really into that because email doesn't have so many things get lost. There is no intonation in a text. There is no intonation in an email. And there is certainly what you can deliver in 140 characters, which I've seen some people deliver some pretty nasty stuff on Twitter, that is. You understand? You know, and here's the thing. I have been that individual that has said and put my nose and stuck my nose and probably stuck it in a few other places where people figured I should have taken it out of. But I made the choice on my own. But it's not easy to be that conscious nowadays in the 21st century because people are all suffering from that list that I just talked about. And there's so much resistance. And when someone is trying to do the right thing, people will reach so much resistance where they throw up their hands and they give up and they walk away. Because there are people, you all ever watch that show, What Would You Do? You understand? It's a very interesting show. And it shouldn't be a social experiment, but oddly enough, it is. And it's a very apropos social experiment. On a couple of occasions, one very seriously, and it involved the life and the well-being of a child. And at the time, I have all manner of clients in my personal practice, and I have a few police officers, and I was aware, and I had been made aware, of a situation where a child was endangered as a result of the behavior of the parents. And I reported it to this client who worked in law enforcement. And in law enforcement, or in the legal community, you are compelled as an officer of the court to report anything like this. So I took it directly to them, and they took it to CPS here in the state of Florida and reported it. And then CPS came back and chastised, was quite rude to the individual that I made the initial report to and said it was unfounded and that this officer of the court should not be wasting their time on this kind of thing, right. Only to find out less than 10 days later that these parents were arrested in a motel room with this child who was 9 years old with a pile of cocaine on the table while they were distributing from the motel room. And oddly enough, CPS finally pulled their heads up out of their ass and took the child from the parents for the benefit of the child. But understand that the officer of the court that reported it that I reported it to came back, was a little bit upset with me initially because they had gotten their ass chewed out. And then when I was aware that the child had been picked up, finally, I went back and I gave that information to that officer of the court and I said, I apologize, but here is the deal. What you did, I appreciate. Because now, then hopefully there will be some changes and there will be an apology forthcoming to you. And oddly enough, there was. And I say oddly because usually people don't like to admit. But and of course, you know, after I think about a year, the child was returned to at least the mother from the last I heard. I stuck my nose in, got my nose bit, but it wasn't enough to deter me. One time I was living in a very wonderful, and I would not say this casually, development in Davie. I loved Davie. I lived in Davie for quite some time, Davie, Florida, horse country back in those days. And a wonderful development. And there was a woman who had some mental challenges, but she lived on the property, and her name was Ruthie. And Ruthie was a trip. Ruthie would catch me on a bad day. It wouldn't be too good. But I remember I was outside with my chocolate lab at the time, Mufasa. And we were outside, and Ruthie was pointing to the son of the family, you know, probably in his early 20s, was sitting in his car. His car was running, and he looked like he was asleep, perhaps. And Ruthie said to me, Cleo, I think that there is something wrong with him. I think there's something wrong. Should I go to the door and knock on the door to tell his mother? And I looked at her, and like I said, Ruthie was a very colorful character. And I said, Ruthie, colorful character with mental issues, or Miss Cleo going to your door? Which do you do? I said, Ruthie, let me go knock on the door. So I went to the door, and I said, hi, darling. I said, I'm your neighbor across the street there. I said, I believe this is your son in the front of your house. His car is running. I said, and I don't think he's all right. And she said, oh, no, he's fine. He's listening to his iPad. And I said, okay. I said, but you know what? I really do think you probably need to come out here and just make sure he's okay. And so she was a bit reluctant. Now, I'm looking at the boy. I'm telling you, him not all right. You understand? And the car is running. And that's a problem because that car could run into the front part of my house. So me on a business. You understand? And certainly for the boy and the rest of the people in the neighborhood. We have children. We have dogs. Don't want the car running out of control. And she came outside, and surely within probably about 3 minutes, there was an ambulance, and there was the police department, fire truck. Something was quite wrong with the young man. And certainly, from what I ascertained, it was a drug overdose. But once again, who knows? What if Ruthie nor I, and Ruthie even with her own issues, it's not that I didn't listen to her. I did acknowledge what she said because she saw something. And it wasn't quite right. So I know she ain't quite right, but that doesn't mean that she don't have sense. Because every crazy person, trust me, honey, enough of them have sense. So, I mean, you know, these are the times that you cannot turn a blind eye. You do have to get involved. And trust me, my dear, when I stop and I have to look past the fact that whatever it is, and if I get involved, then somebody gonna want to throw Miss Cleo's name up in there. And it doesn't matter. Because if it's about somebody's safety, it's about something for someone around me, about a child, about a person who can't defend themselves, I really can't give a blood clot what the media is going to say about Miss Cleo being involved in one thing or another. It no matter to me. And trust me, you know, I know how to say me apologize. I was just concerned. You understand? Just simply concerned. And you all know, I love my dogs. I love the whole of my dogs. You all know I talk about my dog, Cece, have her own fan page. You hear me, man? So, another example. Now, my partner and I, we are like two little old ladies. We love to put together a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle in the middle of our living room and stare right out the front window and watch everything and everyone. And we know the dogs, the people in our neighborhood, and we know when something doesn't look right. You understand? We often know. So, one night we sit. And it is late into the evening, and our next door neighbor has two wonderful dogs, Murphy and Fergus. And they are good friends with Cece. They are fence buddies, you know. And she's a nice, quiet young woman. She travels a lot. And so she has often someone who's sitting for her, or our pet sitting for Murphy and Fergus. And One evening, me I hear both Murphy and Ferguson, barker, 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 barker. And they're not like that, you know, they're big dogs, but they don't make a whole heap of noise. Sometimes they'll speak to me over the fence or they play with CC. But them I not bark unless they feel somebody close to them house. So I went outside, you know. I went outside to see if anybody I move around the house. Me pick my nose over the back of the fence. Me not seen it, nobody die yet. But me I just hear the barks, them bark, 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 bark. So when my neighbor, when I saw her again, I said, darling, I said, how are you? I said, no, I'm a little bit concerned about your dogs. I said, I hear them bark well into the night. And I said, that's not them. I said, I just wanted to make sure that everything was okay. And she looked at me and she said, my dog sitter wasn't here. I said, no, my dear, there was no one there. Well, lo and behold, this dog sitter is charging my neighbor full price to be at her house. And she was not there. So short story, even shorter, my neighbor, she got a new sitter, and then we did ask that she give us her contact information, email, whatever, if there should be an incident in further, that we can contact her directly. You see, that's neighbor taking care of neighbor. That's community taking care of community. And so it just required, now, like I said, she's a quiet woman, and we exchanged pleasantries from time to time, but now we have a relationship, and due large in part that relationship was created by Cece, Murphy, and Fergus. And so I love that. So we have new common ground now. You understand? There is a lovely young woman who is just new, maybe a year into the neighborhood, lives across the street, going to nursing school, and her mom often bakes myself and my partner cookies and things and all kinds of sweeties just to say thank you for keeping an eye out on our daughter. You understand? Because they know that they can just come run to the house here. You understand? Neighbor locks themselves out. They can come run to the house right here. If we see dogs get loose, we all will go and knock on each other's door here in my little downtown Lake Worth, and we communicate. We reach out. We are very cognizant of what is going on around us. And it's one of the reasons I do appreciate this vibration. And I'm so happy to be a part of this vibration in a community where we are genuinely trying to look out for each other, no matter young, old, or in between. And so it's a beautiful thing. But sometimes if we don't unplug, we forget and we start to find great comfort in detaching. We find great comfort in not participating if it might possibly provide us with some inconvenience. And here is my question to all of us. No judgment again, so hear me well. Is that when do each and every one of us as soulful creatures make that personal decision to become involved with our immediate surroundings? I mean, Mr. Ramsey, what an interesting creature, what an interesting man. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Mr. Ramsey, and then just a few suggestions on how we can become a little bit more connected and how consciously we rely on friends that we've never even seen outside of a picture and all of these other scams that can come across and people can imitate you. And because it's not 3D. If you meet me, you know you've met me. Or perhaps you don't know it's me, but you've met me, boss. Done deal. I don't have to worry about it being a fraud. Zin? All right. So, in order to kind of piggyback on that, we're going to play another new release from Full Moon Madness entitled Speak Up. When they came to the synagogues and they took the Jews, I didn't speak up because I believe Jesus is the Son of God. When they came to the factories for the trade unionists to break their will, I didn't speak up because I am self-employed. When they came to the cathedrals for the Catholics, I didn't speak up because I am an Episcopalian. When they came for the blacks and sprayed them with fire hoses and chased them with dogs, I didn't speak up because I have never been to the motherland. When they came to the barrios for the Chicanos and pushed them to the edge of town, I didn't speak up because my skin wasn't brown. When they came for the illegal immigrants and threw them into detention centers and separated child from parent, I didn't speak up because I was a law-abiding citizen. When they came for the elderly and disabled, I didn't speak up because I am young and able-bodied. When they came for the mentally challenged and emotionally damaged, I didn't speak up because I have a little purple pill that deals with all of that. When they came for the gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders, I didn't speak up because I am straight, conservative, and contented to stay in the closet. When they came to Tent City for the homeless, disrespecting what few possessions they had, I didn't speak up because I have a home. When they came for the musicians burning their music and destroying their instruments, I didn't speak up because I am tone deaf. When they came for the poets and writers censoring their life's work, I didn't speak up because I can't read. When they came for the artists and sculptors broke their tools and broke their hands, I didn't speak up because it simply didn't interest me. And when they came for me, there was no one left to speak up. All righty then. So just another thought and another piece of motivation for all of us, because, you know, sometimes it is easy to rationalize. Well, you know, I didn't say anything because, you know, really, who am I to say anything? And it really doesn't impact me, and it really doesn't pertain to me. Look here, brethren, you understand? As long as the whole of we walk and breathe and live on this planet, the whole of it pertains to the whole of we. You understand? And this me thing and this piece of land over here and this piece of land over there. No, my dear. We are all in this ball game together. And the sooner we celebrate that very real vibration is the sooner we can grow as a creature that inhabits this planet. Say, well, Miss Cleo, why you use creature? Because we are a creation. You understand? So we are human creatures. What we came from and where we came from and who were the ancestors and if there is this thing such as Darwinism or if this come from monkey, hey, folks get too caught up in the when, the where, and the how. We are here. And we spend all this time on all these other questions instead of learning, celebrating, and being excited about cohabitating together and making joy and laughter and why just happiness. You understand? So, Miss Claire, why you smoke? Me, I don't smoke not right now, but you wait. We gonna start soon. I know. I see my boss. He's like, oh my God, she is out to lunch already. So Miss Cleo, suggestions on how to get to know. If you got a dog, walk your dog, man. Go walk in your neighborhood. Go say hello to people. Recognize the faces. Be observant. If you see some bullshit going down, man, then don't duck. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about the liability. In some states, they have the Good Samaritan law. If you don't assist somebody, and I believe Massachusetts is one of them, if you don't assist somebody that is in duress or under duress and you are there and you can do so without extreme threat to your own life, if you don't do it, if you just watch it go down, you can get arrested yourself. I'm not saying that's the answer, but it's interesting that somebody even has to write a law to encourage or manipulate us to do what is perceived to be the right thing, and that is to care about the people around you. All right, we're going to keep it rolling. I want to play this next track. It is very personal. It is very intense, but it is very real, and it is my truth, and I share it with you. We are now playing Lesser. Over the last 50-some-odd years, I have struggled and worked hard to get comfortable in my own skin. From the time I was born, someone somewhere deemed that there was something wrong with me. Enough people believe that you choose your parents and your destiny. I have looked at the concept, reviewed the theory, and I respectfully disagree. For I would not have chosen to be a black pygmy and a sheep. Because when I arrived on the scene, being black wasn't a good thing at all, at least not how it looked to me. Let me skip ahead in order to keep a long story short to the time in my life when I became aware of my sexuality. I knew that I loved women, got nothing but my love for men, but only a woman could steal my heart. And once again, I was compelled to recognize that someone somewhere deemed that something was wrong with me. Someone asked me what hurts were. There was no hesitation on my part, racism of course. They asked, isn't it the same thing? I replied, no, it's not the same thing. And then again, maybe it is, or better yet, maybe it's the lesser of two evils. The conversation came back to me as I sat under the mango tree, wishing I could have spoken words to help someone somewhere understand. So I asked myself, why does it hurt worse if someone somewhere calls me a nigger rather than a bull dagger or a dyke? Why does it hurt worse if I am pigeonholed and profiled as an angry black woman that fits the description of someone who might steal, instead of someone somewhere sneering and casting looks at me for holding my girlfriend's hand? Why does it hurt so bad when I think about the president's children and how hard it must be for he and the first lady to protect their black pygmy from all the hate-filled, ignorant words that run rampant over the airwaves, instead of being saddened and dismayed by another failed attempt to make it legal for married people to be gay? Why? Because I'm black. Someone somewhere might say, that's too simple a cop-out. Then let me break it down this way. I never got pulled over by the police for walking home at night because I was gay. I was never ignored at a diner or a restaurant, which happened to be in the white, I mean in the right part of town, because I was gay. I don't worry about driving through a good neighborhood at night because I'm gay. I was never underpaid and replaced by an SWL who was paid twice as much as me because I was gay. As a child, I was never tormented, picked on, or belittled because I was gay. I don't remember any signs telling me to keep up because I was gay. I have never been profiled and detained by INS and Homeland Security because I was gay. I have never searched for a friendly face that looks like me and a sea of people who don't look anything like me because I'm gay. I have never had my intelligence judged before I spoke because I was gay. Stick your head in the sand, deny what's going on. I'm not looking for your pity, I'm sure as hell don't want your empathy. I'm not an angry black woman, I have made my own way, despite someone somewhere. I am frustrated, pained and tired, wondering and waiting for this racism bullshit to end. And it would be one thing if it was all in the past, but it's not. Laws had to be written and ratified to validate our humanity, as opposed to our prior category known as property. And it is not my problem if someone somewhere thinks or believes we are hypersensitive or we perpetuate the division. And while it may not seem like I have remembered the lesser of the two evils, I have. Because 95% of the homophobia I've experienced has been at the hands and mouths of my own brethren. Nothing to celebrate there, and here we go again. Someone somewhere deemed that something was wrong with me. So instead of cussing me out, I was given a choice. It's us or them. The hell with me and my heart. Never was afraid of losing my job because I was black, but I did worry once because I was gay. Why hear the joke? It was a black woman threatening to turn me in because she heard from another black woman who was just as gay as I was, but also closeted and a card-carrying Republican. Divert attention from self and onto someone else. That was that jump rope strategy. Stereotype or truth, what would it benefit this bitch to take food out of the mouth of my youth? And for the record, and in case I haven't been clear, it hurt like hell. It prompted me to come out of the closet, take back my power, dash away the fear, and tell all my brethren. Uh-oh. Needless to say, it didn't go well. No warm embraces, only denial, accusations, and ultimately rejection. From most, not all. And just to make sure I bring this ride full circle, let me add that on those occasions where I find myself navigating both evils on the same day, in the same moment,
with someone somewhere who decides in their little pee-ass brain, I am not worthy, I have no right, and I need to be gone. Those occasions, brethren, them fuckers hurt most of all. People can spend a lifetime in therapy fighting, trying, working to overcome the wounds and pains of childhood. And it is an accepted, reasonable, rational truth. No justification required. So why is it so hard to accept that an entire race of people might need more than 50 years to get over more than 184 years of hatred, injustice, dismissal, and degradation in a country where they don't let us forget? I realize I can't help someone somewhere understand where I'm coming from. Instead, I have been met with judgment, denial, and travail. No matter the evil, no matter the day, from someone somewhere who has decided that I don't have a right to my personal pain. As things stand, I'm not sure what to expect, so I am left asking for one thing. Simple respect for my life experience. Chuck, and let's leave it at that. Then.
Mr. Make You Like It Right Now. Boy, I got too excited. So much love out to him working on that piece for me. This is a really, really talented young man, and I continue to celebrate him and praise him for his efforts and his talent and his insight, and I look forward to working with him in the future. Also, my engineer, Mark at Insane Sounds on that track. And yes, my dears, those background vocals, not touched up too much. Those are yours truly. Yes, my dear. Didn't know I could sing, did you? Next CD, we'll see what we are come with. Rasta boy, wouldn't that be something? All right, look here, we're going to keep it rolling. You all know how much I love you. I kind of have short timer syndrome, even though Monday is the last show. Want to send out all kinds of love to my food truck revolutionaries out there. I love you. I support you. Unfortunately, Wednesday was my last food truck event up until sometime in mid-June. So I want to send out love and a shout out to at PS561 Hot Dogs Extraordinaire, unbelievable, and to all of the other brethren, Bite Gastro Truck and the Dough Truck. Check them out. They have an interesting version of what they call a donut. Very, very interesting. Not so sweet. Kind of a spin-off, but I liked it. So check them out. What we're going to do, we're going to keep it rolling before we do our final sign-off. And we're bringing it back to 2006, to my first project, Convicted for My Beliefs. And this is probably one of my all-time favorite poems that I have written. It is a position on where I stand, where I come from, and basically how I roll. So you all check it out and tell me what you think. Whenever you mention the word voodoo, people get spooked, eyebrows get raised, people get nervous. Some turn their heads while others look down their nose. Sounds like a personal problem to me. And for the record, it's pronounced voodoo. I stand before you today and proudly proclaim I am a voodoo woman, and Y-Kriomalee is my name. And these are my confessions.
steamy hot heat. Thick air, crickets dance and sing. The new moon protects me from the sight of prying eyes. I have work to do, and this is a perfect night for ancient voodoo. Santeria, witchcraft, magic, muti, obia, and voodoo all originated from the motherland, Africa. Like everything, it has balance, some bad, some good. With knowledge comes responsibility and power. And there is a hefty price. Once you begin your practice, it becomes your life. Rules are unwritten. No secret book to be found. You have to look for the signs. Listen for the sounds. Whether you realize it or not, it surrounds you. Don't believe me? Ask the dead man standing next to you. Some call me the devil. They wave their Bibles and curse the ground I walk. My response, never what they expect. Think about it. Ramses, Moses, and the blood of a dead lamb. Side, top, side of your door. Before you blame me, uno ni fi go have a talk with G.O.D. I travel with an entourage you cannot see. Trips to the cemetery just before midnight, with offerings of music, drink, and lots of sweets, making it possible for me to reach out and touch you, no matter the country or city. Can't care what you believe, it's all about what I believe, but I thought you knew. Warlocks and wizards masquerading as magicians and illusionists, they're all real too. A most exquisite coup d'etat, convincing people that witches, warlocks, and magic doesn't really exist. How is ignorance so bliss? Got an itch, an upset stomach, or a headache so bad you can't hardly see? Doctors can't find a reason. Sounds like voodoo to me. Laugh if you want, mock us if you dare. But don't come crying to me when you start to lose all your hair. And for the record, I will say it again. Voodoo is not bad. It can heal your body, protect your home, quiet your soul, block your enemy, keeping you connected with loved ones on the other side so you don't have to feel alone. Rude boy, fast gal, poor man, rich man, my little black book holds more secrets than Heidi Fly, son the DC madam. Tap my phones, watch my every move, tongues wag with lie after lie. Bound and committed to defame my good name. If I am a fake, why so nervous? Why be afraid? What threat do I pose and to who? See here, my dears, I have nothing to prove. Be slow to criticize what you don't understand, lest the hair you lost will grow back in the palm of your hand. For more than 3 decades, governments have studied and tried to recreate and replicate a voodoo woman's recipe for an undead zombie, with only one objective in mind, to create the ultimate army. Truth is truth, life is life. Those non-believers do nothing but stir up strife. My name will be misstated like so many others before me, like me. Throughout jazz land, from continent to continent, we are spread. Our task is great, so even if you kill me, those who are left to carry on have no problem chatting with the dead. So heed the warning. Mommy, auntie, mambo, miss, priestess or witch, daughter or bitch, no matter the name, just make sure you don't speak it in vain. Otherwise, precious, I promise, your dreams will never be the same.
I so many love to drop that wicked laugh every time I can, eh? All right, my dears, I just want to send out some love to my boss at LDC Management. Have a grand journey, my friend. Have a most delicious time. No stressing going on here. Everything will be held down until you get back. And out there to each and every one of you, I love you so much. This has been such a grand time. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for enjoying the poetry. Hit me up at Real Miss Cleo if you got a comment, or visit me on Facebook at Conversations with Cleo, or leave a review on Facebook page, Full Moon Madness. Have a great weekend. Celebrate self and the ones that love you. Thank you so much for dropping by today to join the conversation. I hope that you took away something new, and I hope that you go and share it with somebody close to you. You have been listening to Conversations with Cleo, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, every week, live at 2:30 p.m. Be a part of the economic evolution. Visit me at conversationswithcleo.com.